take your Bibles, please, turn to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4. 2 Timothy, chapter 4. We'll read verses 1 through 4 together. We'll read this passage responsibly. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Second Timothy 4, verses 1 through 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you've given us a man of God like our preacher. Pray that you'd use him today. Lord, please fill him with your power. Father, please change our hearts and our lives. So many people out there in the world that need you, and they need us to take you to them. Father, please, may we be obedient today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Earlier, we read from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Let me give you just a little reminder about the books of 1 and 2 Timothy. These two books, or better yet, letters, were written by the Apostle Paul. They were written to a young preacher by the name of Timothy. It may be that Paul had won Timothy to Jesus Christ. Paul calls Timothy, my son in the Lord. Well, if nothing else, Paul was Timothy's mentor. And in this passage of Scripture that we read this morning, Paul is making some predictions, and he is giving those predictions to a young preacher. Paul was about to die. He would be martyred. He would die for the cause of Christ. And these words that he speaks here in 1 and 2 Timothy, you're approaching the end of Paul's life. He knows the date. The pressure's on. Paul knows eventually he's going to be put to death. And Paul writes these letters to young Timothy, and he says, Timothy, here's some things that I think are going to happen in days or weeks or months to come. And so these are some of Paul's last words that are predictions to Timothy. Here's some of the things that Paul says. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 3, the first part of the verse, he says, for the time will come. Now, what he's saying there is, he's saying, I am predicting that these things will come. And then he says, when they will not endure sound doctrine. Paul says, Timothy, it won't be long. You're going to find a lot of people that will not be able to handle or endure solid preaching of the Bible. They'll reject it. They're just going to reject it. They don't want a preacher to get up and preach the truth to them. He says in the third part of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, Paul says this, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers. So again, here is Paul. He said it's going to happen. And he uses this phrase, but after their own lusts. So Paul said, Timothy, there's coming a day when people will not endure sound preaching. There's coming a day when people, after their own lust, people will mentally and physically lust out of control. He says, and they shall heap to themselves teachers. In other words, they'll pick teachers that please them rather than preachers that tell them the truth. They're looking to be pacified religiously. So Paul said there's coming a day when people will not endure sound doctrine. There's coming a day when people's mental and physical lust will get out of control. There's coming a day when people will gather teachers to themselves that will just help them to fulfill their lusts. He goes on to say these people will have itching ears. You know, when something itches, it's hard to satisfy. In other words, he's saying these folks that won't listen to sound doctrine, their life is full of lusts and covetousness. They shall go out and try to find teachers that please them. And what they're going to do is, it says here, it's talking about having itching ears. In other words, they're going to run from church to church to church trying to find somebody to satisfy their itch. So I got an itch, but I got to find somebody to satisfy my itch. But they can't find satisfaction. They're church hoppers. They're religious hoppers. Not satisfied with somebody just saying, "Thus saith the Lord, the Bible says it, that's how it's supposed to be." And I say, nah. I that doesn't satisfy me. I want something that I'm going to be pleased with. You know, folks, when you see a great big semi-truck running down the road, and on the side of it they have painted, "Go to the church of your choice," I disagree with that. We ought to go to the church of God's choice. God didn't throw religion out and say, "Here, do what you want with it." He threw it out and said, here's the instruction manual, the old King James Bible. Now, you go do what I said. You go to the church of my choice, if you will. But Paul is making predictions here. Paul predicts, and his predictions continue. Verse number 4, he says this, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth." In other words, there are people that will knowledgeably say, "I'm not going to listen to that." And they knowledgeably walk away from the truth. He says, "And they shall be turned unto fables." You know what fables are? Fables are man-made teachings and beliefs. This is where we live in America so much today. We are so humanistic. We are so much into, well, if it feels good to you, do it. We are so much into, well, you think through that and you decide what you think is best. Well, I'm sorry. God's already thought through life and we're supposed to do what God thinks is best. So Paul here, he says, there's coming a day when people will not endure sound doctrine and preaching. There's coming a day when their hearts, their minds will be full of lust, and they will try to find teachers that will please them, and they'll have itching ears, they'll hop all over the place looking for someone to satisfy. You know, what we're looking for is a religion that fits us instead of us fitting the religion. And he said, there are going to be people that are hopping all over the place. They'll hop from church to church to church to church, trying to find what they like and what they're looking for. "And they shall turn their ears away from the truth, and they shall turn unto fables." They're just looking for something man-made. Well, true Christianity is not man-made, it's God-made. It's God-made. Those were Paul's predictions. Paul's pretty good at predicting things, isn't he? You say, "Well, oh, that's just what it is today." Well, Paul said that was going to happen. Paul predicted it under the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God, and it came true. Wow. My, oh, my, oh, my. Did Paul not know what would happen someday? So those are some of Paul's predictions. I looked up on the internet some predictions of people in this world for 2008. Let me share some of them with you. You're going to like it. Now, some of them, they're serious about these predictions. But here are some predictions for 2008. And let me say, we live in a bit of an unstable world. And people just can't figure out what's coming next or what's going to happen next. You know, we get a little fearful about, what does 2008 hold? Well, I'm going to try to help you today a little bit, folks. But let me tell you what people are predicting about our country in 2008. For instance, prediction number one, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration have predicted that we're going to have above average temperatures in this year. You say, is that because of global warming? I don't know what that's because, but I can guarantee it. It's God that's going to cause it to warm up. I really don't know what's causing it all, but I will tell you this. If we have warm weather, that's because God wanted us to have warm weather. And if we have cold weather, it's because God wanted us to have cold weather. And you're not going to believe it, but if it rains, it's God that made it rain. And if it's dry, it's God that made it dry. You don't have to freak out or panic about what the scientists are saying. We still have God, the Creator, in charge of everything. But that's their prediction. Here's another prediction. The price of gold may reach quadruple digits in the United States. And so that's good. Gold always has been valuable, and so that's what they're predicting. Number three, somebody predicted that Fidel Castro is going to die. Number four, you sports buffs, get this. Some of you are going to like it, some of you are not. But on one of the prediction pages that I looked at, the Indianapolis Colts stunned the world by upsetting the Patriots in the Super Bowl. You say, I like it. I don't like it. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. Okay, here's another prediction for 2008. The Boston Celtics are going to win the NBA championship. Okay, here's another one. And this is not my prediction. This is a prediction that I got off the internet. Hillary Clinton does not win the 2008 election. I didn't say it. I'm just telling you what they said. Here's another one. Osama bin Laden will be captured and killed before being brought to trial. Just another prediction. Here's another one that I do like. The Cincinnati Reds will win the World Series. Cincinnati Reds has been my team for the longest time. Win or lose, I'm a loyal man. I trace the Cincinnati Reds all the way back to Johnny Bench and Pete Rose and the big red machine back when Sparky Anderson was their coach. You say, well, they're not worth anything anymore. You're dumb. You don't know anything. That's the Cincinnati Reds. You leave them alone. Here's another one. Here's another one. George Lucas announces that another Star Wars movie will go into production. For some of you, you Star Wars, you weird outer space kind of like people. I don't mind it. You know, if you watch a show, that's up to you. But some of you act weird, you know. You act like you're an alien because of it. Here's another one. Oh, I get this. I don't know where this came. I mean, this is like off the wall. Clowns will be hunted for sport. Due to their chronic overpopulation, Congress will enact a law that makes it illegal to shoot clowns. I thought they were talking, you know, like Bozo the Clown. They might be talking about you, buddy. I don't know. I don't know what it's talking about. And get this. Oil will be at $75 a barrel. I don't know what it's at right now. Is it higher than that already? Okay. All right. Well, I don't buy it by the barrel, so I don't know. Paul had made some predictions, and they came true. Here's some people of the world who made some predictions, and I don't know whether they'll come true or not. I'm going to make some predictions. I thought about getting me one of those white hats and a crystal ball and wear it up here and look into my glass and, you know, see, but I didn't want to mess my hair up. It looks pretty good today, doesn't it? But I'm going to make some predictions for you this morning. And I believe that these predictions are good for the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, and I think they're good for any Christian that would like to know what's going to happen in 2008. And here's something I'm going to do. I'm going to step out, and I'm going to say 100% sure that all my predictions are going to come true. You say, ah, you're cocky. You're arrogant. No, I'm just sure of the source. See, I got a connection. I got my orders from headquarters. And I am just sure that what I'm about to say is going to come to pass in 2008. So for some of you, you say, oh, what's going to happen in 2008? Oh, what's the future of our country? Oh, what's going to happen out there? I'm going to help you to see some things that I believe you can go to the bank on. For instance, number one. The Bible will still be the most powerful life-changing book ever. The Bible will still be the most powerful life-changing book of all times. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 5 says, every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. God's word is still the answer to man's problem. And so I say to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church and anybody that would listen to this sermon in 2008, I make a prediction that it is God's Word that is still going to be the most powerful book ever written. It is still a life-changing book. God's Word is still what America needs. We haven't phased out of needing God's book. We still need the old black book. We still need the God of the old black book. There will be no new book that could be written to replace God's Word. You can check the best sellers charts. You can check and you can just watch down there at all the bookstores and you can go to Amazon.com and you can just watch all the literary works that are produced. I'll just guarantee it, there'll be no author more dependable than the writer of the old black book. You're not going to have to worry about some book coming along that could take its place. It's not going to happen. It won't happen in 2008. It's the most important reading for you in 2008. Say, Brother Owen, should I be really watching the Wall Street Journal? You can watch it if you want to, but you better keep your eyes on the book that it contains a chapter called Numbers. You say, Brother Owens, what should I read? U.S. News and World Report, I'm glad for you to do that. Read it all you want, but I'll just tell you this. You better read the old black book. You better read the Bible. Why? I predict in 2008 there'll not be another book produced that could exalt itself above the Bible. It will remain the book that needs to be put back into our public schools. Its predictions, the predictions of this old black book, the Bible, the King James Bible, they'll come true 100%. Listen, the Bible says if you're saved, when you die, you go to heaven, you can go to the bank on that. God's prediction is you get born again, you get saved by grace through faith, you'll go to heaven someday. If God said it, you can believe it. God said you'll go to hell if you don't get saved. If God said it, you can believe it. The Bible teaches that God will bless people for their obedience to the Scripture. If God said it, you can believe it. The Bible teaches us that God, if we as Christians disobey Him, He will chastise us like a father would spank his children. If God said it, you can believe it. The Bible says that Jesus Christ someday is coming again to take all Christians off of this earth, and we're going to go up in the clouds, and forever we'll be with Him in heaven. If God said it, you better believe it. I'm just here to tell you, folks, I don't know what's going to happen with the rest of the world. I don't know what all is going to happen out there, but there's one thing I can guarantee you, the Bible is still God's book, and in 2008, it is the most powerful, life-changing, world-altering book that there ever has been or that there ever will be. And I promise you, 100%, that prediction will come true. I'm going to give you another one. Number two. Prediction number two. Prayer will still be the most powerful way to get things accomplished. Prayer will still be the most powerful way to get things accomplished. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Prayer still changes things. Prayer still changes people. You say, oh, Brother Owens, what's going to happen in 2008? The prayer-answering God is still waiting to hear from you. The same God that was answering prayers way back in the time of Elijah and way back in the time of Abraham and way back in the time of Moses, He's still the same prayer-answering God. And I just want you to know, in 2008, prayer is still what we need as Christians. We don't need to phase prayer out. God doesn't have a new program. It doesn't matter what the world says. We still need prayer. Prayer still changes people. I was thinking of Mrs. Johnson, and I think it was this last year that Mrs. Johnson's husband got saved after years and years and years and years and years and years and years of prayer. Let me tell you, lady or sir, you live in a home where your mate's not saved. You say, Brother Owens, what's the answer in 2008? My mate's not saved. Pray! Pray that they get saved. God still listens to and answers prayer. It's a new year, but God doesn't have new methods. It's a new year, but God doesn't have new methods. We don't need some new method. We need to go back to the old method. Why? It still works. It still works. Now, they may come up with all sorts of new technology for your car. And I'm glad that they do. They made it so I can't work on mine anymore. Yeah, Kelvin, what are you laughing about? I can't even work on my car anymore. I grew up and knew how to do just anything that needed to be done to a car. There come a moment when you needed to have a mechanism to fix the mechanism that was broken. And now you can't do it. And they've improved on our cars. Our cars can now talk to us. You can get in the car and the car seat will adjust itself for you.
Well, I mean, we got this. I can get in my car seat. My car seat starts moving. It's spooky. It's like a ghost. That's amazing. Some of you, your car, you can actually watch yourself back up without turning around. You got one of those little monitors where you can see what's behind you? My wife said, honey, we got to get one of those. I said, why? She said, well, they're cute. All right, honey, let's get one because they're cute. Let's spend, $1,200 because it's cute. I'll get you a mirror that's cute if you want. Cost me $1.20. How they come up with all these new mechanisms and everything? Why? Well, hey, the things that man created was far from perfect. And so the things that man creates always being improved upon. But let me tell you something. If God does it, you don't have to improve on God's ideas. And it was God's idea that God's people pray. And there is no improvement on just learning how to pray. It's a new year, but we don't need new methods. Prayer is as important and powerful today as it was when Daniel was trying to pray his way out of that lion's den. Prayer is as important today as it was when Peter prayed his way out of jail. Prayer is as important today as it was when Elijah prayed down fire from the sky. We need no new teaching on prayer. We just need the old teaching on prayer that you're supposed to do it. No, there's nothing that can take the place of prayer. Listen to this, and I'm going to get off this point. Most of your failures, most of my failures, are prayer failures. Prayer failures. Let me give you prediction number 3. I say prediction number 1, the Bible is still the most important, most powerful book ever. I say prediction number 2, prayer will be the most powerful way to get things accomplished for God. Prediction number 3, the Holy Spirit will still move and work among God's people. The Holy Spirit of God will still work and move among God's people. The Bible says in Romans 15, verse number 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost of God. The Holy Spirit of God is not dead. Oh, in 2008, we may bury Fidel Castro. That may happen. It may be that Osama bin Laden is caught and somehow tortured or put to death. But I'll tell you somebody that's not going to die. And that's the Holy Spirit of God. He's alive and well in 2008. Although many people are confused about His job and what the Holy Spirit really is, God's not confused. The Holy Spirit is not confused about that which He will bless and that which He will not bless. He still convicts man of sin. That is, if churches want it. See, a church has got to want to be convicted of their sin. You know, there are people that meet all over the country in so-called churches, but they did not meet to be convicted of sin. They met for a social reason. They met to look religious, but the Bible says that we're not to have a form of godliness, we're to have godliness. Churches are, hey, did you know we are supposed to come to church and there are going to be times when we're going to feel bad about ourselves? What? Because the preaching of the Word of God, just read through the book and look at it real carefully. If you can read through this book and not feel bad about yourself, you must be blind or stupid. This book tells us of a way to live. This raised the standard high. The bar has been raised high about the way people ought to live. And the Holy Spirit is going to convict us. And I'm promising you, if a church wants it, and if a people want it, the Holy Spirit of God will still convict of sin in 2008. He will still lead people to do God's will. Let me tell you something about God's will. Everybody here, listen very, very carefully. I do a lot of counseling about the subject of God's will. Let me tell you a key element to knowing God's will. One of the key elements to finding the will of God. Now, most all the will of God is printed in the old black book. God didn't leave it to you to just to flounder in life. You go to that black book, 9 out of 10 steps of the will of God is found in the book. But you know, for that little element of faith that is included in decisions about the will of God, let me tell you something that I wish I had time to develop, but I don't. But if you want to know what's missing in most people's thinking about the will of God, is this. Before you'll truly find the will of God, you must lose your own will. Get that? Before you'll really find the will of God in your life, you must lose your own will. It comes to the point where you say, God, I don't have a will. Now show me your will. See, because as long as you have a will, your will edge and push God's will aside. So many of you need to learn to get to the point where the 9 out of 10 steps of the will of God, you're following that old black book and letting God decide what's right and wrong, and you don't decide it for yourself in your own humanistic, egotistical way. And then you come to the point where you say, okay, God, I don't have a will. It's not a matter of I want to do this or do that or be here or be there. God, all I want to do is be in your will. And whatever you say is fine with me. I've lost my will. It's not a matter of, well, I've always wanted to. No, it's a matter of I just want to be in God's will. But you see, the Holy Spirit in 2008 will continue to work. He can still comfort hearts that hurt better than any other method. So my prediction is this. My prediction is that the Word of God is still going to work in 2008. My prediction is that prayer is still God's method of getting things in 2008. My prediction is that the Holy Spirit of God is still powerful and willing to guide us in 2008. Prediction number 4, God will still be worthy of our praise. God is still worthy of our praise. Psalm 145, verse 1, 2, and 3, it says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. You know something? Who the next president is not important, or it is not as important as who God is. America would do better picking their president if they give God the attention he deserves. Everybody's wound up about who's going to lead the United States of America in the next 4-year term in the White House. What America needs is to get back to letting God lead the United States of America, and we pick a man that submits to God. Oh, but let me assure you of something. You say, but Owen, can you praise the Democratic candidacies or the candidates for the White House? Can you praise the Republican candidates for the White House? Oh, what's your opinion? My opinion is God be praised. My opinion is we need God back in America. God is still worthy of our praise. He is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It will be more important to praise Him than your favorite football team. There's some people in here, you won't say amen to one thing I say, but you'll sit and watch a football game and say, did you see that? Did you see that? I'm so close. And right now you're saying, I can't believe you're acting like that, preacher. I get wound up about the things of God. And you say, you're embarrassing me. You're one of those dignified people. Got your glasses on a stick. Your prime objective when you buy a dress is to make sure nobody's got one like it because you want everybody to look at you. Brother, you ought to pick your dresses different. God is worthy of our praise. Hey, listen. He is worthy of your trust. He is worthy of your love. He is worthy of your commitment. He is worthy of your faithfulness. He is worthy of your service. He is worthy of your loyalty. He is worthy of your worship. Praise Him. Praise Him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hey, I don't know who we ought to praise down here in 2008, but I know a God that is going to be worthy of our praise all the way through the year. He is worthy of praise, and He is worthy that you would praise Him. He's worthy, whether you have what you want, or whether you have what He wants you to have. He's still worthy of your praise. Let me give you another prediction, prediction number 5. Old-fashioned preaching will still be God's way for changing lives and promoting holiness. Old-fashioned preaching. Romans 10:14, it says, how then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Let me tell you something, folks. America is looking. America is searching. Notice all the psychologists now coming out on television. No, notice how America is now looking for answers. America knows we're messed up. America knows we're drug infested. America knows that we are addicted. We are addicts. We are addicts of pornography and addicts of alcohol and addicts of drugs. And we are addicts of lust. And America is in such a mess. All of a sudden, you don't have to have these famous stars on TV doing all of these big fancy movies. We want to watch somebody try to talk us out of our messes. Becoming more and more important in America than on television, there are people that can help you to figure your life out. Well, let me tell you something. God had a program for figuring your life out a long, long time ago. And that program included people showing up at the local New Testament church and letting the preacher preach your stuffings out of them every once in a while. Just every once in a while, a preacher that was not afraid to get up and tell the truth. Yeah, there are people that they'll watch Dr. Phil, and Dr. Phil say, "Buddy, you're an idiot." And you go, "Yes." You're watching TV, and Dr. Phil called some man an idiot, and you say, "Yes." I can get up in here and call somebody an idiot, and you'll say, "You should have never." Well, I'm going to anyway. There's some of you love Oprah more than you love your preacher. We're leaving that. America does not need more talk show hosts. America needs preachers. America doesn't need somebody that can read the tarot cards. America needs preaching. We don't need horoscopes. We need somebody to preach against whores. America does not need psychiatrists. We need preaching. America does not need New Age religion. It needs old time religion. America does not need philosophers. It needs preaching. America does not need psychics. Psychics is a long word for psychopath to me. They need preaching. Preaching convicts people of sin. Preaching changes hearts. Preaching shuts disloyal mouths. Preaching saves marriages. Preaching stops lying. That's what preaching does. That's what preaching does. You say, some things you say rub me the wrong way. That's what preaching is all about. When Jesus said to a bunch of religious Pharisees, he said, "Ye whited sepulchers filled with dead men's bones." Don't you think that he had a tendency to make people mad? Don't you think that's possible? They crucified him. They were so ticked off. I don't want to be crucified. That hurt. Thank God only one needed to be crucified, and that was a Savior. Amen? Good. I'm glad you're in agreement. Old-fashioned preaching is still the answer for America. Let me give you another prediction. Prediction number 6. Old-fashioned gospel music is still right and expected by God. Old-fashioned gospel music is what we need. Psalm 104, verse 33, it says, "I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being." In other words, as long as I've got any good sense about me, I'll keep singing unto the Lord. Hey, did you know something? To me, Amazing Grace is still amazing. There is still a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. What can wash away my sin? It is still nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, we need to stay with the old-time gospel music and the old-time gospel hymn. Hey, God, listen, some of this is going to be hard on you. God is still hurt by the new Christian rock movement. You say, "I don't like that." Somebody needs to tell you. Somebody needs to tell you. They say, "Well, we're with Christian rock, we're trying to pull God down to man's level." God's not supposed to come down. We're to go up. We're to go up. We're to clean our lives up. You know what people want? They want to figure out a way to stay in the world and have some form of religion. I'm sorry. And I don't say that to hurt you. For some of you right now, man, you're looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. There's one here. You're big enough. You're like two calves looking at a new gate. Well, let me tell you something. The old-time religion is what kept America what America has been. And if we want America to stay right, we better stop accepting all this watered-down Christianity. He said, "Well, you remind me of my grandma's church." Well, I consider that a compliment. You listen to me. America needs to get back to old-time religion. They need to get back to the old time gospel hymns. Let me give you another prediction. Prediction number 7. God will still bless righteous living. God will still bless righteous living. Psalm chapter 5, verse number 12, the Bible says this, "For thou, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." God is still for honesty. God is still for purity. God is still for kindness. God is still for charity. God is still against sin. God is still against evil. God is still against wickedness. God is still against lust. And He's going to be against it all the way through 2008. You say, but the psychologists say, I don't care what the psychologists say. I care what the Bible says. Sin is sin. Wrong is wrong. It's wrong. God is still for people being faithful to church. And God is still for the preacher getting up and telling them to knock it off and show up at church when they're supposed to be there. God's still for that. God is still against lust, and He's still against hate, and He's still against stealing, and He's still against lying. God is still for unity in a church. God is against and hates discord in a church. He hates it. He hates discord in the church. He hates discord in the church. We're talking about people who go around talking bad about the church and talking bad about the people in the church and sowing discord and disunity among the brethren for whatever reason, whichever reason you justify. God still hates it. It ruins churches. It ruins the spirit of the church, and it quenches the Holy Spirit of God. Did you know God's fashion designs don't change as the world changes? But had God ever intended for fashion to be for men and women, He intended it to be in all generations. So when you're kind of outdated, then you think the Bible's outdated then. He said, "I am the Lord, I change not." I'm like the Lord, I didn't change socks for 3 days. Didn't have to, my wife's been sick. What are predictions that we can be sure of? We live in such an unstable society. We live in such an unstable atmosphere. Well, I'll give you some predictions you can go to the bank on. The Bible is still God's book and the most powerful book ever. Prayer is still what we need and a lot of it. The Holy Spirit still moves in churches and people that will allow it. God is still worthy of our praise. Old-fashioned preaching is still the need of the day to straighten out our thinking. Old-fashioned gospel music is still important to God. God will still bless righteous living. Hey, you're like this. This is my favorite point. God will still love us. God will still love us. Listen to these verses. Romans chapter 8. "Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing in 2008 can stop God from loving you. Not even you. God loves you. He may not love the way you live. He might not love the way you talk. He may not love some other things about you, but God loves you. God loves you. Thinking how my phone rang Friday night, 2:30 in the morning. On the other end of that line, someone said, "Is this Pastor Owens?" I said, "It is." I said, "To who am I speaking?" They said, "I'm not going to tell you." So, "Pastor Owens, I'm going to kill myself and I want to talk to you before I did." Not drunk. Not high. I would have recognized it immediately. I've seen Brother Bush both drunk and high. I know it. I'm sorry. I've never seen him drunk. Come on, catch up here, folks. That was a blonde over there. Slow boat, but the boat did arrive at the dock. But Owens, I'm going to kill myself. And then said, "I don't come to your church, but I've heard about you." I sat up on my bed. I said, "Listen to me. You don't need to do that. We'll help you. We'll figure out a way. I don't know what the problem is, but I've got a God that's so big, He can help with your problem." And we talked and we talked and we talked. They hung up. I still don't know who it is. But I'll tell you this. If that person somehow stumbled in here this morning, let me remind you and reassure you of something. God loves you.
God loves you. Whoever you are, you let the Holy Spirit of God touch your heart right now, and I want you to realize your life is worth living. You say, but I don't have all the answers. But let me make a prediction. I know of a book that does have the answers. Say, I don't know how I would solve my problem. I know a God that can solve. Hey, and what God can't fix, God has an uncanny way of making sure that something doesn't have to destroy us. God knows what He's doing. I say in 2008, the love of God is as rich, it is as deep, it is as thorough and committed as ever before. God loves you if you've been faithful or unfaithful to Him. God loves you when you're unlovable by others. God loves you, lost one that needs to be saved. God loves you, lonely one. God loves you, hurting one. God's love will not be stopped in 2008. God's love will not be stopped in 2008. Let me quickly make another couple of predictions and I'll be done. I think that in 2008, all Christians need to understand that giving will still be God's way. The world's way is taking and getting. God's way is giving. God's way is giving. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. God still teaches we're to be givers. We're to give of ourselves. In 2008, you say, Brother Owens, what is something that would help me in 2008 to be what I ought to be? What would steady me in this economy? Let me tell you this. You need to learn to continue to be a giver because that's what God teaches. Give of your time, give of your love, give of your ability, give of your food. Some of you, and the economy of the United States of America needs over 200 years. It goes up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. But David said, I've never seen God, he said of God, I've never seen God's seed begging bread. Now let me explain something to you. You say, what should I invest in? Let me give you a little piece of advice. Say, well, what's the stock market going to do? There is a stock market that's a heavenly stock market. One of the things you need to do, you say, I'm afraid, am I going to have food? You just make sure you're feeding the hungry along the way. And you have a God that's, He's storing up a bank account for you. And the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. In other words, you do good to people. Somebody's going to do good to you. And if ever there comes a day when you're down and out on your luck, God's got a lot of people waiting on the sidelines saying, I'm going to help them. Why? God said, you help somebody, I'll figure out a way to help you. When's the last time you gave any of your food away? Those of you that have steak 2 and 3 times a week? I grew up on low-fat milk. Well, it looks like you watered it down. Why? That's what we could afford. We didn't get to buy the expensive hot dogs. We bought the cheap 49-cent pack of hot dogs where you get 8 or 10 of them. Stupidest thing in the world. You get 10 hot dogs and you got to buy buns 8 at a time. Well, not stupid for the people that sell buns. They knew what they were doing. Hey, when was the last time you gave any food away? America. You. Those of you that are the constant recipients. I'm talking to you too. Those of you that are down and out 24/7, 365 days a year. When's the last time you gave of what you have? I say the answer in America for 2008 is still give. Because if you give, it shall be given unto you. Give of your food. Hey, give of your clothes. Somebody in here needs to give somebody else a tie that doesn't have one. Some of you ladies, you have dress after dress after dress after dress. You've got the one that's in the tub that says, I'll get these out again someday. I don't need to go further. We have ladies that would love to have a few dresses that they could wear. Some modest length skirts. Give of your food. Give of your clothing. Hey, and give of your money. You need to tithe, and if you're behind, you need to catch it up. You need to give to missions. And every once in a while, you need to find somebody that's down on their luck and just go up and buy them some groceries.
Somebody that right now, maybe their employment is in one of the markets where things are down. Maybe they're in construction a little bit or something like that, and things are going well for you right now. Maybe you need to take them down to the gas station and say, let me put some gas in your car, brother. Let me help you out. That's still what Christians do. Don't you let the economy of America scare you, Christian. You just keep on giving of your food and giving of your life and giving of your time and giving of your clothes. Your God will take care of you. The feds have no control over the heavenly bank and the interest rate of multiplication of blessing that comes from only God.
And then finally, let me say this and I'm finished. My last prediction of 2008 is this: Jesus will still save lost souls by grace through faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There is not a new way to get to heaven. They can't develop one. Scientists can't improve on God's invented way to get to heaven. Man can't pick his own way to heaven. God already picked it. You'll come by way of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Jesus is still the only way to be saved. Jesus is still the only way to get to heaven. Jesus is still saving people. Well, I'll tell you something. I feel so sorry. You go across America, churches that used to have people saved, churches that used to have folks walk the aisle, they used to have altar calls, they used to have an invitation, and now they don't even sing invitation songs in many churches anymore. They don't even fill the baptistry once or twice a year. We keep it filled 365 days a year around here. And I will predict today, if a church is willing to help keep people out of hell, God's still looking for a church like that. If you're here today and you say, Brother Owens, this thing of heaven or hell, what's it all about? I'll tell you this. If I ask you this question, listen to this. If you died today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? If your answer is anything other than a quick and an affirmative yes, you may have a problem. The Bible teaches that you can know for a fact you're going to heaven. You don't have to wonder about it. You don't have to live in fear of it. The Bible teaches that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God said in John chapter 10 that no man can pluck them out of His hand. Once you're placed in the hand of God, as you've trusted Christ as Savior, you don't lose it. Once you're saved, you're always saved. The Bible teaches it is for by grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you ought to get saved today. We're not talking about religion now. I'm not talking about getting in that baptistry and getting wet. I don't care if you've been sprinkled or sprayed or dunked. That does not get anybody to heaven. You must realize you're a sinner and there's a penalty for sin, and that is death in hell for all eternity. You must realize that Jesus Christ paid that penalty with His death, His burial, and His resurrection, and you must turn to Him and you must say, forgive me of my sin and come into my heart and be my Savior and mean it from down inside you and place your faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone to take you to heaven. And the moment you do that, He writes your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it is done with ink that cannot be erased. Nobody's name has ever been removed. Hey, you have salvation available to you, and if you're not saved, I recommend you get saved. I recommend you get saved today. My prediction is Jesus is still saving people in 2008. These things I predict for this year at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I predict somebody even here this morning, you're going to get saved. I believe somebody is going to walk this aisle and say, that's what I want. It's what I've been looking for. A church that would just tell me the truth. I believe 100% all 10 of those predictions that I made today are going to come true. Paul said to Timothy, for the time will come, Paul was predicting, the atmosphere of Christianity. I predict to you today, as did Paul, mine is not Holy Writ or Holy Scripture. Mine is just drawn from the Holy Scripture.